Lord, we thank you for our country and, Lord, the freedom that we have here. Father, we thank you for those that sacrifice for us daily in their service for our country. Lord, we do ask that you would watch over them, protect them. Father, that you would work in their lives and their families' lives while they are separated from each other. Father, today as we look into your word, we ask that you would teach us by your power and by your grace, in Jesus' name, amen. As with all of these, they have not gone according to plan. I figured we would be finished with the Beatitudes about a month ago, and I thought we'd be finished with this one today, and we're going to get partway through. We're going to get started anyway. Verses 10 and 11, and actually 12, is thrown in there, is kind of the lumping together of the last ones. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. As I was studying these verses, I thought it was quite interesting that one of the commentators actually lumped these all together as one instead of separating them out into two different ones. So, Phil, your plaques work. The last two, there was another one that you made originally, and that one has disappeared over time, but it works. And the last one, they both talk about persecution, and they really could be lumped together. So today we get to talk about the lovely thing that we all like to look forward to of persecution. Think about it for a little bit. What's involved? As believers, according to this verse, we will be persecuted. It says falsely accused, we will be insulted, we will be spoken evil of. But when you look at Christians in the world today, what do you see? We see the rich and the famous, the healthy, the wealthy. Is there persecution in America? What about, again, those people on TV with their fancy clothes and their big cars and houses? And isn't that what we're supposed to be as Christians? Aren't all things supposed to work together for good? What's persecution? Isn't everything going to be good in your life? I remember 60s, 70s, you know, come to Jesus and everything will be wonderful. And this verse says, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Aren't we supposed to get along with everybody? We've talked about being merciful and peacemakers, and we're supposed to be kind and gentle. We think of the Old Testament saints. We have St. Paul's Cathedral and St. Peter's and St. John's, all those saint guys, you know. We're supposed to be like them, and someday we'll have a church named after us too. Isn't that the idea? Don't think so. When we look into the lives of Peter and Paul and John, they were all persecuted. Except for John, all of the disciples were martyred. John got to spend the last part of his life exiled onto an island that had a really terrible climate, among other things. Blessed are the persecuted. As believers, what should be our credentials? Is it the big cars, the big name? This verse says, blessed are those who are persecuted. We started all of this, the Beatitudes, with blessed are the poor in spirit. Persecution will come, whether we've experienced it now or not. Paul's credentials. If we look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll see what Paul said about his life of the rich and famous. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, starting about the middle of verse 23. He says he's in far more labors, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. I thought we were supposed to have everything good. Isn't that, don't we kind of have that picture in our minds? Way different for Paul. Way different for Peter and John. Where's the glamour? Where's the prosperity? Where's all the blessing that we talk about? And he says, blessed are those who have been persecuted. Paul really did have great blessing. He talks about the contentment that he learned, whether in want or in much. The word here used for persecuted means to pursue, to drive, to chase away, to harass, to treat evilly. And the tense means it's going to continue. It's not just a one-time thing. When we put this together, it's kind of interesting. The happy life, the blessed life, following what the Beatitudes tell us will be a life that will be persecuted. That is what will happen for us. Good news of the day. It says, when people insult you, sometimes that word is translated revile. It literally means cast into one's teeth. It's like throwing something in their face, an insult. The same word was used for about Jesus when he was on the cross and those walking by were hurling insults at him. It's the same idea. Not only are we going to be chased out of the group, they're going to say bad things about us. It says also that they will say falsely all kinds of evil against us. Kicked out of the group, insulted. They will make up lies. When you think about it, they did it to Jesus. Why shouldn't they do it to us? But it's not in our framework of thinking much today. Arthur Pink said this, "It is a strong proof of human depravity that men's curses and Christ's blessings should meet on the same person." Dealing with the cursings of men and the blessings of God. In the same person. Interesting. Interesting thing to think about. Not something we look forward to. Not something we plan on. Not something we think about. But it does say, blessed are those who are persecuted. Again, we need to keep in mind, this is Jesus' first sermon. These are the first things out of his mouth to the crowd. He starts off with, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we come down to the end, blessed are those who are persecuted. If we live the way, if we live as people that are poor in spirit, as people that mourn, that hunger, thank you, and thirst after righteousness, we will be persecuted. When we're living a lifestyle transformed by Jesus, the world won't like it. It will confront them. It will make them uncomfortable. That is what should be seen in all of our lives. The verse says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for what? For the sake of righteousness. And then it also says that we will be insulted falsely, all kinds of evil against us because of me, because of Jesus, for righteousness' sake and
because of who Jesus is. Look over in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. John 15, verse 18 says this: if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. How does the world feel about righteousness? Ever heard the expression goody two-shoes? It's not as popular nowadays, but I do remember it. I'm not sure where it came from. But when that term is used to describe someone, is it a compliment? No, it's usually derogatory and it's an insult. Oh, they're just a goody two-shoes. You know, they just do everything right, and it's... The world doesn't like righteousness. The world loves darkness. Jesus is light. The world's response to Jesus was what? They hated him and they killed him. Should we be any different? That is what this verse is saying. It should be the same for us. If we are of the world would accept us. But our lives should be confronting to the world. Not going out there and, you know, pushing our way in and saying, look at me, I follow Jesus, and you're not supposed to like me. That's not the idea. But by the way we act, by our attitudes and actions, they should be made uncomfortable. And we need to remember it's not us they resent. It's who we represent. It is Jesus. And why is Jesus such a problem? So many times we hear, he's a good teacher. He was a good teacher. Do people have problems with good teachers? Not generally. That's not the problem. It's him. It's the fact that he was God in the flesh. It's the fact that he was a perfect man. When you're around other people, you can always find somebody worse than you, right? Okay, I'm not so bad. Rob's worse than me, so, you know, I'm all right. We do that, don't we? I can play baseball with a bunch of kids. 5-6-year-olds, I do very well with them. But if I get asked to play with adults, men or women, I do what I'm doing right now, which is I break out in a cold sweat. I start to feel sick, and that's when I'm still not on the field yet. When we're around people, we're comfortable. They have the same issues and problems we do. When we're around perfection, we're uncomfortable. I remember years ago, we visited a church in Colorado Springs, and Dr. Dobson, James Dobson, went to that church. And at the time we had Alicia, who some of you met at Christmas, who was always a handful. And we went and walked into church Sunday morning, and we sat down and we were sitting there, and I looked over, and guess who was sitting in the next row to us? Right in front was Dr. Dobson. And we have Alicia. And we never knew what Alicia was going to do. And I think we tried to shift her to the other side. And not that he is perfect, but when we are with someone that is better than us, it makes us uncomfortable. Jesus is better than all of us. He is perfect. He is God's standard, and he makes us uncomfortable because we see and know that we cannot live up to that. As we let him live in us, he changes us, he transforms us, he makes us more like himself. What should that do to the world around us? It should make them uncomfortable. That actually is what we want to see. Our lives should confront the standard of the world. They should see something in us that's different. I've known some Christians with a chip on their shoulder, and they go out in a way looking for persecution. Then actually bring it on themselves. That's not what this is talking about. It's persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's persecution because of who Jesus is and what he works in our lives. Our lives should back up what we say. Are we living lives that are poor in spirit? Are we showing meekness and gentleness to the world around us? Are we hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Are we showing mercy? Are we making peace? And if you remember from last week, I think it was, how do we make peace? By speaking the truth. Sharing the truth of who Jesus is and who we are as people. Persecution will come. Fortunately, it's not an everyday thing, but it will come. We will be blessed, it says. We will be happy. We will have greater happiness than the world can ever offer. We need to follow what these verses are telling us. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of what is right. We should follow what these verses 3 through 9, 3 through 10, 11, have been telling us. This should be the character of every one of us, every man and woman and kid here. This should be the character of our lives. We should be living examples of these verses. How many of you do it? Uh-oh. I guess I did that, didn't I? Okay, how many of us do that? You feel a little inadequate. It's hard to do. It's hard to live by the Beatitudes. We think of those stained glass people. They could do it, right? Paul had an easy time, right? No problem. Peter. Remember what Peter did? Denied Jesus 3 times. God doesn't work in stained glass people. He works in the lives of you and I. He works in flesh and blood. He wants to change us. He wants to make you and I into a picture of his Son. To follow his example. To be poor in spirit. To mourn over sin. To seek after righteousness. To be gentle. Not seeking our own, but seeking what God wants. To be merciful. To be pure in heart because of what Jesus did for us. To be peacemakers, sharing and telling the truth. He wants us to live by the Beatitudes. In a way, this capsulizes all of what he's been saying and all of what he wants for us. Of course, that's the ideal. Does God lower his standards because of our sin? No. That's our goal, to follow after these principles. Will we fail? Yeah. But are we striving? Are we working towards? Are we working towards letting him change our hearts? This is a description of someone who's truly happy. These Beatitudes and living by them describe what our lives should be. We should be growing into this kingdom that he has brought to us. If you remember the beginning of the book of James, it says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. It is a part of our lives. 1 Peter 5:10 says, after you've suffered for a little while, what's the result? It says, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That is what is ahead for us. He will strengthen us. He will establish us. He will confirm us as we live out this character in our lives. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be." Do you know what it says? Fits very well here. Persecuted. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That is what is ahead. How's that for a sales pitch? We need to get our lives right. We need to follow after the Lord. So why? So we could be persecuted. Yeah. But there is blessing. There is blessing that comes because of this, and greater blessing than the world can ever offer. Even today, we read of people that are killed because of their walk with the Lord. We know the disciples died. It continues. Look up the Voice of the Martyrs. I believe that's the name of the website. Do you know that, AJ? You knew about them a little bit, no? Okay, wrong person. Yeah, the Voice of the Martyrs. I think it's voiceofthemartyrs.com. It's a group of people that talks about those that are today being killed because of their walk with the Lord. It does happen. When we live the righteous life that God asks us to, when we live by these Beatitudes, the world will hate us. We stand for something that makes them uncomfortable and that they dislike. The world resents us. This is the good news, I guess. We won't all be burned at the stake. That's good. But persecution will come. It will come in different forms. I know of a man back in Colorado that he didn't lose his job, but he made a stand for the Lord at work, and he was passed up for promotions. He was put in lower positions. Every time he went to work, he had to battle against this. Cool part, we didn't know this until just last week, I think. He's going to actually become a pastor and be in Kansas. But he was in a regular job, I think computer, if I remember right. And he dealt with very difficult work circumstances because of the stand that he took. Does it happen all the time? No, fortunately. It's not an everyday occurrence, but it is something that will come. It may come through lack of promotion. It may come from silence of neighbors. It could come from our own families and not being included. Oh, they're the religious ones. We have them on Christmas, but any more than that, we don't want them around. Some of us have to deal with that. There are different forms that it will take, but the world is set against God's standard. And when we live by that standard, there will be a struggle. Persecution will come. The believers at this time, in the very near future, Christians would be facing the lions. They would be thrown into the lion's den to be killed. They had to deal with the feast to the false gods, to the idols of the area. Everybody was going. All the neighbors, this was a big party. Everybody was going. Are you going to go to the temple of a pagan god and take part? Well, why not? What's wrong with you? Everybody else does it. Those things will come up. It will happen. Persecution will come. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the, how does it end? Kingdom of heaven. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, let's say that again. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake. Righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice anything similar? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's on the first and the last. You'd think he knew what he was talking about. Nice order, nice structure there. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God's kingdom is ours. Through this persecution, whatever we forfeit in this world, whatever we give up, will be gained back in God's kingdom. Whatever physical losses we encounter now, eternity is a great reward. Look over at Romans 8, verse 18. Romans 8, 18. Yes, persecution will come. Yes, there will be struggles. Yes, there will be hurt. One account I read of a lady that had a friend come over for coffee one day, and she was sharing with this friend and found out this friend was seeking a divorce. And the one lady knew that she had to talk with her about that and share with her that that wasn't God's best. And through this, this friend got angry. She was mad about this. She ended up storming out of the house. That's hurtful. That hurts when we have to speak truth. When we have to share truth with others. It can be painful. Romans 8:18 says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." The sufferings of this time, they are there. They come, they go. We go through good times, and then we have to deal with the hard times. But the sufferings of this life have no comparison to the glory that will be given to us in the end. How many of us live for the moment? I want what I want, and I want it yesterday. Now. I want it now. I can't wait. What are these verses saying? The wait is worth it. The struggles that we face today, the hurtful things that are thrown at us on occasions will be worth it in the end. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The major promise in all of these is that we become part of God's kingdom. A bigger picture than we can ever imagine. No matter what happens in this world, no matter what this world may do, some of us, we don't know what the future holds, may face very strong persecution. It may be in the near future. We don't know. But the sufferings of this world can never be compared. And we have to keep our eyes there. With the future and the hope that we have, the glory that we will have in heaven. When we repent and trust Jesus as our Savior, heaven, eternity is ours. We are part of God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven belongs to us. That is the hope in all of these verses. As we wrap this up for today, I would like for you to consider what reaction does your life have in the world around you? When people look at you, what do they see? People from the world that don't know the Lord, are they confronted by your life? Or are they, oh, they're just one of us? Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are we willing to stand for the truth and face the consequences? They will be there sometimes. Are we willing to make that stand? Are we willing to not join in areas that we used to go? To be part of things that we used to be part of for righteousness' sake? We need to remember, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Again, I would ask you, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you sought His forgiveness, asked Him into your life to become part of His kingdom? If you've never done that, it involves praying. It involves asking His forgiveness, admitting your sinfulness, and asking Him to change you. If you've never done that and would like to do that today, would you simply slip up your hand so I can pray for you and put it back down? I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. Thank you. Those of us who have, those of us who have repented and trusted Him as our Savior, what reaction does our life have in the world? Are we different? Do we confront them with the truth? Father, we thank You for this one who's raised their hand. Lord, I ask that You would work in their life, that You might begin the change in them that only You can bring. Thank You, Father, that You forgive us, that You make us new. Father, help us as believers, as those who have trusted in You, that our lives would make a difference. Lord, that we would stand for truth, that we would understand our need for You, our hopelessness without You, that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness. And Father, that on occasion that would make others uncomfortable. Father, help our lives to reflect You and show You to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Benediction is found in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.